What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap.
Duke, Brandon, and Lucas look forward to putting their meat on the table in 2021 and beyond.
Football is finally here. Like, it's officially here.
Football season is back, and we are here to cover it for you.
Obviously, we don't know if he's in quote-unquote football shape, but me personally, I think he's going to come out super rejuvenated and just absolutely eat people alive.
Okay, dude, you've been feeding us the same crap for 3 years now, going on 4. Like, until we actually see this, we need to stop giving Matt Nagy the benefit of doubt that it's just going to happen.
Listen, it's chicken or egg at this point.
We're back. I'm all the way reeled in on this team. I don't know how they continue to do it, but Justin Fields is our quarterback, and there is nobody on God's green earth that can tell me anything otherwise that this team is not trending in the right direction.
We ain't leaving. We ain't leaving.
You're such a jack.
We ain't fucking leaving! No, he didn't.
Yo, did you guys intro the show? Like, something's going on, technical difficulties here. Like,
I'm still muted, right?
I can't hear a thing.
Tony Reale.
I gotta rerun. No. We gotta rerun this.
It was cool while it lasted, ladies and gents. Oh man, that's great.
Is everything good? Like,
we're live right now.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
I'm having real bad technical difficulties. You guys can hear me?
Yeah, can you hear us? No? Nothing?
Yo. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bears on Tap. Our main host, Lucas, can't seem to figure out his computer right now, but it's game week. Like, Lucas, he'll get back in. I think he was trying to do a shirtless stream, so maybe he's trying to come back in with a shirt off. But
yeah, I mean, hey, for a guy who tells me all the time about how much he loves his AirPods, you know, it seems like he really kind of fell off the cliff right there.
Poofy headphones for life, bro.
Dude, 100%, man. Dude, with the wire and everything, I don't even go wireless. I need to be connected in.
Yeah, but, also, too, we're on the ground level. He's on, like, the 72nd floor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we're live, B-Don, I guess we should probably just roll on in. How you feeling about the Chicago Bears? How you feeling about the first, like, normally scheduled programming of the year?
I'm a little nervous, but as you see, I have updated my name to the live odds, which are Chicago Bears money line plus 300. Ride or die guy. I have a feeling that the game's going to be closer than people anticipate. Obviously, it's the first week of the season, but for, you know, Matthew Stafford, first week in that offense, obviously the training camp. I don't really know if he played anything in the preseason. I think it was like all Bryce Perkins and their backups and those, you know, young guys, but the way the Rams finished last season, the way they project towards this season, it could go catastrophically wrong, but I feel like we could keep it a lot closer than people are giving us credit for. And I think that starts with, you know, time of possession, ball control, long extended drives, and finishing drives. Obviously, we have a kicker that's about as good as gold. But let's get some touchdowns. Like, I don't want to be going into the half like every game in the Matt Nagy era under 10 points. There's no excuse.
Yeah, man. And I think when it comes to the Rams, it's gonna say a lot about who Sean McVay actually is as a head coach. Because the idea that a quarterback is holding him back, kind of similar to the thing we've been dealing with Matt Nagy in Chicago. With Matthew Stafford out there, you really can't blame the quarterback for this team, for the Rams not going anywhere this season, you know. And there were some big defensive players that have left the team that we're going to get into a little bit later on. But I think this is a really good first test to see where the Chicago Bears are. You know, obviously Andy Dalton is the guy that we're going with week one, you know, to everyone's dismay. But this is going to probably be the team we're going to see for the first few weeks, if not longer, due to reports. So we're going to see Lucas Perfetti pop into the chat. What's going on?
Yeah, this is actually my fault, dude. I mean,
It just blacked out for me. I don't know what happened.
Look, dude, those are some great looking headphones. Yeah, that's all I got to say. No AirPods,
you loser.
I had to take them out, dude. I couldn't hear anything. I didn't know what was going on. I wanted to make sure I was connected by, what do you call that? Ethernet and by auxiliary. So we're good. I'm sorry for.
Go charge those bad boys up so your Pornhub experience can be in 8K later.
You should probably go delete any
scheduled tweets you have about AirPods. So.
I don't think it was the AirPods. I think it was my internet, but I think
that's usually my job.
Either way, did you guys intro the show? Did you plug everything? You know what I mean? Like, should I trust you or should I do it?
No, go ahead and plug. We were just talking about the Rams.
How you guys fart on your nuts. Yeah, well, we're Bears on Tap. Go ahead and follow us at that handle. I'm Lucas Perfetti. You can follow me at Lucas on Tap or follow that pod guy, Duke, Mr. Duke Coughlin, and Beat on 300, a.k.a. Chicago Bears Moneyline plus 300. Definitely hammer that. Mr. Brandon Suarez. Also follow On Tap Sports Net for all of your Chicago sports needs. Obviously, the Sox are Duke's not the happiest about them now, but they're one of the best teams in baseball, so there's something to be happy about, unlike B-Don 300 over here.
I'm
but
as happy as can be.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I appreciate you guys working through the technical difficulties with me and the people that are watching. I appreciate you for staying on. But let's get into it, right? Because we got a injury report and we got real football on Sunday. And Bears are plus 300 for a reason. B-Don, what's the actual line? Is it 7.5?
It's moved to 8.
8? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we all know it. The Bears are supposed to get donkey punched, you know. But where'd you guys leave off? I apologize again.
Well, kind of what I was saying is, you know, to that point where the Bears are supposed to get donkey punched, this season in general for the Rams is going to say a lot about Sean McVay. You know, he's not going to have the excuse of Jared Goff at quarterback anymore. You know, we kind of went over that a little bit, just kind of talking about how similar that is to the Bears and probably how these teams are a little bit more similar than, you know, what meets the eye. You know, one plays in LA, which is a huge market. And one just got Matthew Stafford over the offseason. So obviously that team's going to get talked about a lot better. And especially for this idea that Sean McVay is an absolute, you know, NFL genius and just is revolutionizing the game every single time he, you know, takes a dump. So yeah, basically that's where we're at. I think this is probably actually a closer matchup than a lot of people are giving us credit for, but we're going to see a lot about what Matt Nagy's offense is with his guy. If you've heard that before, we are not echoing. That's just literally where we're at right now.
Bro, Duke, be honest. You think L.A. Sean McVay actually takes dumps?
Yeah, dude, takes dumps. Fat dumps. What are you talking about?
He might like, I think he takes like 12 small dumps a day. Just like little pellets.
Like a little rabbit?
Yeah.
I don't think it's comparable, though. I think he's proven so much more as the Rams head coach. Yeah, he's proven so much more. He
knows how to figure out a lot of stuff in the course of a game. Like, he's good at adjusting.
For sure. Did you see how he slowed down the front last year? Like, they're going to have a similar game plan. It was just all fucking you know how they say you can't bootleg on every play? Sean McVay said, okay, I'll take that challenge. Hold my beer, essentially, right? So I don't know, man. I think he's a much – I can see the similarities in what you're saying because it's like Jared Goff was holding them back. But you could tell, dude, when he had a running back, which they don't necessarily have this year, and Todd Gurley, they were one of the most prolific offenses there. The Bears' offense under Matt Nagy has been average at best. You know what I mean? So I think there is a difference there.
I don't want to get that confused at all. Like, I mean, Matt Nagy's a very low bar. I'm just saying, you know, Sean McVay, I think, is like a top 15 head coach, probably hovering around top 10. But I think there's a lot of people that put him in like that top five area. And I'm not willing really to put him there yet. I think he's a guy who is safe in his job, but he's a guy that I feel like if he can't succeed with Matthew Stafford, then there's probably a lot more questions about him after this year. That's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Sean McVay. I think he is a good coach, but I'm kind of like, I'm a little indifferent. I'll say he's between 5 and 10. I think he's a better coach than Duke's giving him credit for. And for the reasons that I said, like, he just, for whatever reason, knows what to do at almost every time in a game. Like, it's never – like, I'll say it. Like, there's times in a game where you're like, the Rams are fucked, and then he just pulls – you know, he pulls his little 4'8", you know, coat over his shoulders and figures it the fuck out. Like, his stupid little khakis and his Tiger Woods like celebration and shit on the sideline. But yeah, I mean, if we had Sean McVay, I'm not saying the Bears would be like have won a Super Bowl, but I think if we had Sean McVay with our roster currently constructed, I think the results are two or three games better a year.
I think the Bears 2018 roster
could have won a Super Bowl, yeah.
Was probably better than the Rams 2018 roster.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of a bold statement, but I think
I don't think that's bold at all, honestly.
I do think that they were. I think they were
prepared. And I mean, Hitch was playing well. He played well in the playoff game. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. McVay runs
Mitch
a much more
off. Like, what do you want? They're both like the same level.
Well, and they're I would say McVay's probably or Mitch is a better quarterback than Goff, to be honest, because Goff was in one of the most quarterback friendly systems his entire fucking career, whereas Mitch was with clown shoes, fucking clown shoes. So I do think if Mitch has McVay and he has that roster, I think it's pretty crazy. I want to shout out to Dylan, though, because he says loves the plus 300 and the handle from Beatdown. And we will at some point tell you why you're going to hammer that plus 300 for the Chicago Bears, not because we're intelligent or whatever, but and when it comes to the Bears, we bet with our heart. So definitely wanted to get that there going. But no, I think realistically, Sean McVay is miles ahead. And I know you hate Matt Nagy with all your passion, Duke. So obviously, like, I'm not saying that you think Sean McVay is, you know, in the same realm as what's it called, but I kind of lean more towards Beatdown. I can't put him up there with the Sean Paytons of the world and the John Harbaughs and the Bill Belichicks, the guys that can coach both sides of the ball because they've been here for so long. But I would put him up there, at least as a coordinator and offensive mind, I'd put him up there in the top five for sure. He just knows how to scheme a guy open. And if you really think about what he does with the weapons he had, like he's had Brandon Cooks, who's, you know, we talk about how Allen Robinson might be a 1B receiver. Like it, to me, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, those guys are like 1C and 1D receivers. They're very, very solid players in the league, but I wouldn't call them elite weapons at all, but he can get both those guys open very regularly. And that those are two guys I'm going to want to talk about, obviously, because we have Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley that are probably going to have to be lining up against these guys. And that I don't know how that bodes. You know what I mean? So, but let's get right into it, right? I think realistically, Duke was also – I don't think this Rams team is nearly as good as they were last year. They lost talent on both sides of the ball. But, Duke, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so you want to go depth chart or injury report?
Kick us off with the injury report.
Okay. Yeah, so honestly, the Rams are coming in pretty healthy for the most part. I would say the biggest worry for them would be A'shaun Robinson. He's currently dealing with a knee injury, and he didn't practice on Wednesday. Obviously, that's fluid throughout the week, but that is kind of a big piece up front that they're going to have to deal with because he's probably the guy who would line up next to a guy like Aaron Donald, which would be able to, you know, kind of set up a better matchup for Aaron Donald. Otherwise, he's going to get a lot of the focus, if not the focus he already gets. But besides that, their defensive front is pretty healthy. Their offensive line is healthy. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, there's a lot of roster turnover, but they still have guys like, you know, Leonard Floyd on the roster, Kenny Young on the inside, who is actually a pretty underrated inside linebacker. Darius Williams, you know, they still have some playmakers up front and in the linebacking room. And of course, you know, in the secondary, they have Jalen Ramsey. You know, that's kind of the big matchup. And, you know, the big talk.
Darnell Mooney's son.
Yeah, the big talk of the offseason, Darnell Mooney's son, Jalen Ramsey. That's going to be a good matchup moving forward. Obviously, unfortunately, Andy Dalton's going to be the one throwing Darnell Mooney the football. So we don't know how much of that matchup we're really going to be able to see. But I think that's going to bode really well. And I really like Taylor Rapp as well as their free safety. I think he is a very talented player. Doesn't get quite the name recognition in the league, but I think the Rams still have a pretty solid defense. I've seen quite a bit of people on Twitter and a lot of analysts kind of talking about how they've weakened up a lot on defense, but I still think they're a formidable group. And with what we've seen out of Matt Nagy's offense, we can't really expect to set, you know, fireworks on Sunday night.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I want to get at though, because I think it's kind of a wash, but more, I think they did lose some talent, right? I think that they had a bit of a drop off with Michael Brockers and John Johnson. And now Beatdown saying that Troy Hill's replacement is actually an upgrade and he's an up and comer. I can't sit here and say that I know so much about college football and the Rams up and comers. I could tell you a lot about the Bears depth guys, but so I do think you're losing a little bit there, but I think the biggest thing is, man, and something that we felt as Bears fans, you're losing your D coordinator. You know what I mean? And I know Jalen Ramsey said he's excited and he could sink his teeth into this, you know, into offenses this year and what they're going to do with him. But losing a coordinator for a number one defense, I mean, you saw what happens when you go from Vic to Cuck Pagano. It could be bad.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of hard to take anything Jalen Ramsey says seriously, honestly. I'm pretty sure he's never found a coach that he's gotten along with longer than like 6 months. So, I mean, it's kind of a hard comparison to make.
He's just a big-time jag-off, dude. He's just that guy. You're not that guy. He is that guy.
But, yeah, to your point, Lucas, I feel like Brockers definitely is a pretty big loss. That was kind of the guy that had been paired with Aaron Donald essentially since Aaron Donald has been here. So it's going to be a little bit different up front. You know, obviously Aaron Donald has an argument of the best player in football, you know, regardless of position, in all honesty, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see how he deals without kind of some of the weapons he's had up front later in the past. It's going to be a lot of Aaron Donald and a lot of familiar face Leonard Floyd, I feel like, on Sunday night.
Yeah. Let's talk about Leonard Floyd. Huh? Because Leonard Floyd got a really bad rap in Chicago because he was not able to get you your 12 sacks, your 10 sacks, or 16 sacks, whatever you want from him, because Ryan Pace traded up 2 draft picks to go ahead and take him in the 2016 draft from, what was it, 11-9. He gave up a little bit of capital, and everyone thought he was the next big edge rusher, and it didn't work out for him at that position. But, man, when it comes to solid, you think about solid guys on this roster that left from 2018 to 2019 – Adrian Amos. And then the next one up, right, was Leonard Floyd. And I feel like we saw our defense deteriorate. And I think those were two, integral pieces that really people overlooked because they were just solid. They were just consistent pros. And that's something that's actually a lot rarer than you think. You know what I mean? You can have the splash plays. We've seen that Eddie Jackson maybe isn't the most consistent player, and having someone as consistent as Adrian Amos underneath to let him just go do his thing and make plays was actually something that the Bears have been kind of yearning for since he left. And same thing with Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd took all those Robert Quinn. Hey, you wanted someone to play the pitch man? You need someone athletic enough that played inside linebacker and outside linebacker at Georgia? Leonard Floyd's your guy. You need someone to chase down a fucking running back in the backfield? Leonard Floyd can do that. You need someone to set the edge? Leonard Floyd's willing to do that dirty work, whereas Robert Quinn wasn't. And he didn't give you that upside as a pass rusher, but it's kind of crazy how as soon as – just like a lot of fucking superstars in Chicago, right? Or a lot of guys that were supposed to be superstars in Chicago. They leave Chicago. The pressure goes away. They're just asked to do what they're good at, and then they overperform and have the best year of their career. How fucking often does that happen, B-Don?
About as often as your AirPods not working, which is starting to become like
– it's actually rare.
I see them in your hands too, dude. You're just like squeezing the shit out of them. You're literally me on Sunday night with the stress ball looking at Leonard Floyd fucking Andy Dalton up, just like slobber knocking him, just like Rocky-type level like knockout. Like, I think he's going to have a good game. He always performs even higher when he plays against us, but – yeah, as far as Chicago athletes, it doesn't matter what sport it is. It could be the Bulls, could be the Hawks, could be the Cubs, could be the Sox. When Cubs and Sox players trade with each other, it kind of offsets. But everything other than that, they go and ball out. Like, if Josh Allen, for whatever reason, gets hurt and Mitch gets implemented into that offense, imagine Mitch just on a revenge tour. On a revenge tour.
Unraveling his penis and turning into a helicopter.
They're going to give him, an MVP patch on his jersey. But, yeah, like, it's indescribable. Even, like, all my Cubs guys that got traded this year, with the exception of Baez because he's, like, so up and down. But, like, Rizzo was mashing. Chris Bryant's been doing well. Both their teams are probably going to the playoffs. And they weren't doing that when this year. Before this year, they did it. This year it wasn't there, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, Duke, okay, go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead.
I know you wanted to talk about Floyd, so I wanted to get that in before we moved on.
I've always kind of been under the same understanding with Leonard Floyd. I also feel like he wasn't used as like a straight up pass rusher, like when he was used at his best. And that's kind of the beauty of Leonard Floyd. And that's why I was always a huge fan of him, is because he did so much that just did not show up on a box score. He covered flats very well. Like he came into the league as like a raw pass rusher, and he became a complete player under Vic Fangio. Like, people forget Ryan Pace drafted Leonard Floyd because Vic was basically bugging the ever-living hell out of Ryan Pace. Like, I want this guy. He's exactly who I want. He's my number one defensive prospect in this draft. He reminds me of Aldon Smith. Like, go get me Leonard Floyd. And in all honesty, you know, obviously Leonard Floyd didn't set the world on fire with like a 16 sack year in his rookie year or anything like that. But dude, he stopped the run. He covered the flats. He went out in coverage quite a bit, and he always showed up against the Packers, man. Like, there was so much to love about Leonard Floyd, but people could not get over the fact that he was a first round pick. That was it. Like, if Leonard Floyd was drafted in the third round, he would be like an all time favorite of fucking Bears fans, and he'd probably still be on the team. People would fucking love Leonard Floyd.
It's kind of crazy you say that, because I mean, look at the Floyd was decent. People wanted more, but he was a good player. And I mean, that's exactly what it was. He was just fucking solid. So you're right on point there, Buzz. But I think that's what it comes down to, right? If he was a backup outside linebacker, he would have been one of the most beloved Chicago athletes. He would have been like a fucking Scalabrine or one of those guys that came off. I mean, obviously a much better player than Scalabrine, but I'm talking about, for some reason, Chicago has this affinity towards backups, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, yeah, man. I think it's just
Kwiatkowski. Remember Kwiatkowski?
Kwiatkowski's actually thing.
Kwiatkowski was actually pretty damn talented.
Both guys were.
If it wasn't for us drafting Roquan, he would have probably been still here next to Danny T.
No, and to your point though, because somehow it always leads back to Matt Nagy being a jackoff, right? It always does. But talking about like Duke talking about how Vic Fangio was hounding Ryan Pace to get Leonard Floyd, and he ended up getting him. And that's also a guy that Brandon Staley wanted, who was with him last year. And that's why I think he had such an effective season. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has a little bit of a drop off being asked to do things that he's not supposed to do this year. But long story short, coaches have a major influence on the type of players that are brought in to the GM. It's the GM's job to interpret what the coach wants and give them what is possible. Now, is Ryan Pace at fault for not realizing that Matt Nagy's a fucking idiot and so is Chuck Pagano? Yes, that is his fault. But when you talk about a move like Leonard Floyd getting moved and Robert Quinn getting picked up, that's got Chuck Pagano's fingerprints all over it. If you don't remember, I think it was Dwight Freeney or one of those guys in the Colts. He took a guy from a 4-3 in Dallas and brought him and had him be a stand-up linebacker and finished his second half of his career very productive in a 3-4. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Dwight Freeney. I'm not sure. It was one of those ends that they had in Indianapolis. But that's the type of shit that he would like to do. Matt Nagy, you think Mitch would have gotten moved for Andy Dalton if Matt Nagy wasn't the coach? Like, absolutely fucking not. Ryan Pace loved everything about Mitchell Trubisky and his Toyota Camry. So when it comes to building a roster, coaches have so much more of a fingerprint on it. And I'll make it a double-edged sword. I do think Matt Nagy was probably a huge influence in getting Justin Fields. I do believe that. So, you know, you kind of got to credit him as well for the good moves being made. But for the most part, this roster has gotten depleted since 2018. 2018 was probably its best year in terms of peak. And that's the thing too. I was actually talking to my buddy and he was like, would you really trust Pace to do a rebuild? I was like, we kind of already saw him do it. You know, maybe he missed on the quarterback and the coach, but we already saw him take an old and overpaid roster, turn it over completely and inject a ton of young talent. Now, can he build a Super Bowl roster? I'm not sure at this point.
Yeah, that's a tough sell, man. And like, I kind of like that point, you know, I feel like me and you have always been big Pace guys, Lucas, but
I'm sorry. Yeah. Here's a great question by a lap real quick. I hate to cut you off. How much credit does John Fox get for the defense? I think he deserves some. I do. I think he was an influence in bringing – that's the one thing he brought over was a credible staff. The one thing he brought over.
The number one thing I got from John Fox was the day he was fired. When coaches get fired, pretty often players stay out of it. Because they don't want to, give the interim head coach the wrong idea or give the team the wrong idea that they don't like the direction that the team is going or whatever. I saw post after post from guys like Danny Trevathan, Jordan Howard. There was a ton of players who immediately posted their support for John Fox the second he got fired. That says something. That says something that those players went to war for that guy. It didn't pan out, obviously. And, you know, John Fox at that point, I'm pretty sure we were all kind of clamoring for his job. There's no.
He was the fall guy. He was the fall guy. He was put in an impossible position. Like, he got put into a position where it was like, You know, you're getting rid of Lance Briggs. You're getting rid of all these highlight guys. You're getting rid of Matt Forte. You're turning over and stocking up draft picks and fucking having nothing on your salary. Like, Matt Nagy walked into a beautiful fucking situation. It's crazy that people don't realize it. They don't see it with their own two eyes. When you look at even the jump from 2017 to 2018, as soon as Nagy got here, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, Allen Robinson, big-time contracts getting made. You know, at that time, Cody Whitehair and who else was it? Charles Leno and Bobby Massey were coming off of pretty decent seasons. I believe they both got extended right before he came in. Like, they, like, had shit set up to go, and Matt Nagy just fucking botched it, bro. And, I mean, but we are in a pregame, so let's get back to the fucking Rams.
They sharded all over his shit.
Yeah, but long story short, I don't think the Rams defense is going to be number one again. I'd be surprised if they're – I wouldn't be surprised if they drop out of the top five. I do think there is some still some talent there, right? You have two top five players on defense in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. Like, you have two high-level superstar fucking players – essentially to Khalil Max, where the Bears only have one. So do they have that potential to be great and make everyone around them better? Yes, I do think that. I think both of them impact the game as much as Khalil Mack. As much as I want to be a homer.
Yeah. You're forgetting Roquan Smith, though, bud. I hold Roquan Smith that level.
I hold him high as well, but I can't put him in the top five of all players. Like, he's got to have a fully healthy season.
I don't even know if I'd put Jalen Ramsey in the top five of all players.
I would
put who's the cornerback out in Buffalo?
Tre'Davious White.
I would take Tre'Davious White in a heartbeat over Jalen Ramsey.
What about Josh Allen?
Yeah, a franchise quarterback over a cornerback who can't stop
didn't
crying
they,
about Darnell.
Didn't they have a little beef too? I think Josh Allen and Jalen Ramsey had a little
pretty sure Jalen Ramsey, when he was with Jacksonville, said that Josh Allen was trash.
Josh
Allen rubbed his
Jalen jumping in telling you that you are a fucking hater. Jalen Ramsey's an unbelievable cornerback. In my opinion, he separates himself as the best cornerback in the league. Look at the stats of people's receptions against him. I mean, it's fucking clear as day.
But you can't take what Dylan said serious because he likes Kanye and he also likes Jake Paul.
Dude, Dylan loves
that. That's a rough look. That's a rough look. Yeah. He likes three of the biggest shit. I don't know. I mean,
bro,
he's a good corner, bro. He's a top three corner in the league.
Jalen Ramsey in 2019 allowed 66% of his passes past him. Just saying, man.
For how many yards?
549. And in 2018, he gave up 856.
He was on the fucking Jaguars, wasn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He was opposite of AJ Okoye.
But dude, they make those cool graphics Okoye. Where it says he locked everyone's best receiver.
I think Jalen Ramsey's overrated. That's just me. For what they gave up for him.
The AirPods, bro.
I don't know, man. Would you rather have Jamal Adams or fucking Jalen Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey.
Yes, in 100 times out of 100.
Come on, dude. Jamal Adams is a linebacker. Get the fuck out of here.
Jamal Adams is a fullback.
He's a linebacker.
I don't care. I'm talking about they gave up two first-round picks for Jamal Adams the same way the Rams gave up two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey the same way fucking the Bears gave up
two first-round picks. I'd rather take Khalil Mack
over liability.
Yes, I would take Khalil Mack over Jalen Ramsey. I'll give you that. But Jalen, in terms of cornerbacks, Jalen Ramsey is the best in the league. I'm sorry that you're the biggest fucking hater on the planet.
Okay.
Long story short, I think they have the potential to be very good, but I could see them being falling to 8 or 9 this year. But then again, the Bears offense has the potential to make any defense look like it's in the top 10.
I was going to say, listen, bro, they're going to start in the top 3, and it's up to them what they do after week 1. They're going to have a good showing out there on Sunday, I'm sure.
God. See, the reason why I call Andy Dalton the Red Rocket is because he looks like my dog's dick.
Dude, are we really going to get into your dog's dick today?
I'm just saying that's why I do it. It is AJ Bouye. I said it 7 times. Duke loves
Bouye. I said it too.
You said it, Koye.
I said AJ Bouye. It's exactly
Duke's
what I said.
Not the name guy. We'll get Duke name charts.
Fun hypothetical. Would you trade?
No, dude, I would take AJ Bouye over Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey.
You're out of your mind. Fun hypothetical. Would you trade Mack and Smith for Donald straight up? Absolutely not.
No.
Can't do that.
Terrible trade.
Aaron Donald's incredible, but yeah, you're talking about two high-end players.
Talking about the fucking middle of your defense. That's a terrible trade.
Yeah, Aaron Donald is – now, do you think he gets a little bit of that overhype? Yeah, he's a freak. He's probably the best defensive lineman in the league, but
– he's a mountain, dude. Aaron – like, I don't want to discredit Aaron Donald by saying I wouldn't take that trade, but Aaron Donald's a stud.
That's what I'm saying. No, Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the league.
All right, so, yo, you're Stan Kroenke, okay? Those guys are both about the same age. Who you cutting first? Or who you getting rid of first?
If I'm Stan Kroenke, I'm fucking selling the Rams.
Should sell Arsenal, too. It's not a good owner.
Yeah, no, he sucks. He's literally the worst. I might as well be fucking Dean Spanos up here. All right, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Well, I have a new
question. My question or Lucas's question?
Your question, B-Dad.
Oh, no, my question was if, like, when, say they both run out the same year, who you get rid of first, Donald or Ramsey?
Oh, Ramsey and Harpy, dude.
Is that hard? Is that hard?
I don't think that's hard. I think
Lucas, how about you?
I think I understand. I'm trashing Jalen Ramsey, whatever. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's not even he's top five, top three, whatever the fuck you want to refer to him to. Aaron Donald's gonna go down as one of the best defensive players of all time. Jalen Ramsey won't. Jalen Ramsey,
I think when it's all said and done, Jalen Ramsey is going to be like right behind Darrell Revis. That's how good I think Jalen Ramsey is.
I don't know, man. I don't see it. I don't think he's physical enough for that. I think
he's very physical.
Dude, he's the best.
He plays press off the line, and then he races back to go over him, dude. Do you watch him fucking hold on the line as often as he does or even pass 5 yards? You know how many plays that I've watched of Jalen Ramsey in the past, like, 3 years that should have been called for pass interference, but they didn't because that dude is one of the top players in the NFL?
Star power. Yeah. It's the same thing with fucking Rodgers getting every call or Brady getting every call.
Okay, well, then if we're gonna ignore that, then number one should probably be Jaire Alexander.
Oh, no. Kick him off. Kick him off right now.
I'm just being honest. If we're being straight, we're going to ignore penalties, and we're going to ignore what should be called holding and pass interference. Jaire Alexander gets away with a shit ton, and in all honesty, that would make him the best then.
He hates Jalen Ramsey so much that he just called the Packers corner the best corner in the league. We got to get to
I'm just being honest, dude.
Jaire Alexander, okay, I've gotten into a lot of fights with people. Jaire Alexander in coverage is elite. He's elite in coverage, and I think he's a great tackler. Just for some reason, his hands have fucking butter on him. He can't make a catch. There's a reason why he's a DB and not a fucking wide receiver, because the dude runs routes better than fucking wide receivers does while he's backpedaling. But for some reason, the guy's got butter all over his hands, and I think that's what really – this is the only thing that's not making him the best corner in the league. So I'll give you that, Duke. Yeah. But I think Jalen Ramsey has much better ball skills with just not as good of coverage, but just as good of like playing physical, fighting off blocks and being able to tackle. So that's my thing. Realistically, how much did everyone's opinion, the masses' opinion, change when Eddie Jackson's pick started dropping, right? He was supposed to be the next Ed Reed after 2018 and 2019, and now he's a fucking bum, according to the masses. So that's just what happens when you drop picks.
Yeah, I think that's all overblown anyway.
I'm not saying I agree with them.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks Justin Simmons is like miles ahead of Eddie Jackson.
That makes me fucking sick. Every time I see one of these lists and I see Justin Simmons is that does make me sick to my stomach.
I'm like, go fuck yourself, dude.
Yeah. But what do you guys think? How many points do you think the Red Rocket, aka my dog's dick, is going to be able to put up against the Los Angeles Rams and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald and the Los Angeles Rams? How many points do you think the Bears offense is worth?
17.
I'll give him 24. I think if we feed David Montgomery, he can definitely do fucking work against
the Suns. We're getting that extra 7 from defense or special teams if it happens.
I'll go with 13.
And I guess
they're gonna score fucking 30.
Allie, come on to our side of the ball, though. There are a couple injuries that I don't like seeing, and one of them is Eddie Goldman not participating. Duke, you got the headliners for the Chicago Bears on who's not feeling great?
Yeah, so Eddie Goldman is definitely the number one. He didn't participate, and that was strictly due to injury. He was the only player who didn't. It was kind of a knee and ankle, which kind of makes you wonder if he's having issues kind of getting up to speed. and you know, potentially if he could have used maybe a little bit more reps in the preseason and whatnot. I think it's more fatigue injury than anything, but I guess we'll find out later on. bro, Wolf, I will pay for your fucking bail. I will pay for your bail.
Someone's gonna dump a coke on him, like that video of the people at the Rams game. The lady dumped a coke, and then everyone just started fighting.
Bro, rip somebody's Aaron Donald jersey, please.
Speaking of fights, I'm trying to think of which game it was at, but
was it the Memphis game?
Where dude was trying to break up a fight and he just got pelted, bro. Like,
dude,
it was Memphis. It was like the frat boys versus like the one guy with dreadlocks, and he just took them all out.
The one guy
was sleeping. He was like, I had to rewind it because he was just face down.
The guy that was sleeping was the only one that had no right to get punched. Like, he was trying to make sure a girl didn't get decked in the face, and he just got killed.
Yeah, dude, he straight up just got put down for no reason.
Slapped, yeah, for no reason at all.
He was just kissing concrete for like 10 minutes.
I felt bad, actually. He got cracked. He had no idea.
And then you had the two guys that were like fucking wrestling on top of him too. And it's like, ah, that guy is just having a bad Saturday. Like, holy shit. Yeah.
The one guy had the high ground. You can't lose with the high ground.
It's true. That's very true.
Yeah, no, that's
why I thought the Suns were winning. That's why I thought the Suns were winning the championship, because that dude won from low ground, like just totaled a Nuggets fan.
Man, I wonder how much that guy now is still trying to sell in on his fucking like 5 minutes of fame.
Oh, he's fucked. He's probably got an OnlyFans now.
Bro, he probably has like just storage containers just full of t-shirts and shit that's never gonna sell now. Yeah. But yeah, I guess besides Eddie Goldman, like I said, it's a fluid situation. We're going to see where that goes. The guy who would probably be obviously lined up to replace him would be Chris Tonga, and he is sitting at full participation, although he was listed with an ankle. Hard to imagine a guy who fully participated on Wednesday if Eddie Goldman's not ready to go, and especially as a rookie drafted as late as he was. Can't imagine he wouldn't be fully prepared to go on Sunday night if called upon. And I think it would be a cool situation to see, because
I'd love to see it. I mean, I don't want Goldman to be out, but if Tonga gets the start because of it, I mean, I'll be happy for the kid.
Yeah. Plus, you know, even if Eddie goes on snap count, it would be kind of cool to see what he does. You know,
I think they're going to do maintenance stuff for Eddie all year, to be honest. I think it's going to be similar to like the Jimmy Graham stuff. We're not going to hear about it, but it's going to be a listed injury, kind of like how they're doing for, you know, you're going to see Khalil Mack on the injury report and Robert Quinn every single week. I think it's going to be one of those things.
I'd also like to point out, we need to attack Andrew Whitworth. That's the weak spot of their line. I saw the Rams when they dropped their captain's picture. His ass looks at least 63 years old, and has at least like 3 grandkids.
So, yeah, there's not many changes either, right? The only thing that happened was Cam Akers tearing his ACL. They have Sony Michel as their running back. So, as we know, their offense was most explosive when Todd Gurley was the main focus. But they've also made a major upgrade at quarterback with Matthew Stafford. Obviously, someone we've seen from Detroit for a long time. He finally has a team and a coach and just like – shit around him. I'm actually excited for him. I wish he was in the AFC. I wish the Rams were in the AFC, but I truly believe, like, I think Matthew Stafford has the potential to put up, I know it's late now, so, but for fantasy, I think he could throw up like 4,500 yards and 40 TDs type shit. Like, he's never had the opportunity to have a competent rushing game around him. I think the only time he had a 1,000 yard rusher was with Reggie Bush, like throwback fucking, you know, to 2014. He's never really had a competent rushing attack. He's never really had a competent offensive line. He's never really had
any sort of competency around him at all.
Other than Calvin Johnson, who was a walking fucking, you know, reception. Other than that, like, he's really never had a ton around him. And then they have Brian Allen as their switch at center, but they have the same offensive line otherwise. But as Bedon pointed out, Andrew Whitworth is like a Jason Peters in their prime, unbelievable players, but they're both way over the hill, so that's definitely someone you got to try to take care of. But we already know what the game
plan is.
We already know what the game plan is. Our defense, if they're able to minimize our defensive line, if they're able to take care of the pass rush, get Matthew Stafford on the move, you know, get some effectiveness in the running game, and then pull out some play action, that's they're going to be their bread and butter, and all they need to do. And that's what I'm kind of worried about this season in general. You know, if we go up against a team with 3 weapons like the Rams have, with DeSean Jackson over there now that he's able to take away the top of the field, like, depending on Duke Shelley and Kendall Vildor regularly is not going to be the way to go. And the front seven is going to have to make up for it. The front seven is going to have to make up for it. And I don't know if they're going to be able to against a guy like Sean McVay, who's proven to minimize our rush entirely after that 2018 beatdown.
Well, you know, I said it on the last show, and I'm going
to. That's another thing. I'm sorry, Duke, but Sean McVay learns from his mistakes. He got his shit rocked against the Bears defense in 2018. Since then, he's been able to fuck with us since then.
Yeah, he still doesn't center his kickers. But anyway, so the number one thing that I would say, and I said it in the last episode, especially when it comes to the secondary and the cornerbacks, pay attention to guys like Artie Burns. Pay attention to any quarterbacks that are kind of on the fringe of this roster right now. And expect to see them quite a bit on Sunday night. Expect to see him for like specifically like the first 4 weeks, because I feel like you have a guy like Thomas Graham sitting on the practice squad that could be called up a lot sooner than later. Just in case some of those things don't work out, because if you're cutting a guy like Artie Burns and then signing him right away, yeah, maybe you don't think any other team's, you know, going to grab him, but that could also be how low your opinion is on a guy like Artie Burns. You know, you got to see what he is. You got to see what he's worth. You have to see what he's worth. He can't just sit on a roster spot and hold that with how weak our cornerback room is right now. You know what I mean? There are no free spots besides fucking Jalen Johnson. There are no free spots in our cornerback room right now. So those guys need to get tested. You know, obviously I would like to see Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley on the field more than those guys, but I think we need to see a little bit of them to see if they're worth a damn. You know, otherwise, we need to look at other options.
That's the thing, too. I like them both. I hate to say it. Like, I think they're both scrappy, but are they those solid players that you need to be complimented by superstars? You know, are they those solid, consistent players like we were talking about with Leonard Floyd and Adrian Amos? Are they those guys? No, they're not there in that point in their career. They're both later, you know, guys drafted later in the fifth and sixth round. Like, that's it takes a couple of years for these guys to develop. It's impressive for anyone drafted that late to make a team 3-4 years later, the way Duke Shelley is, you know, but it takes a while for them to develop too. And you'd like for them to be introduced into some playing time like they were last year, but for them to be dependent on this year, sure. You throw someone in water, maybe they sink, maybe they swim. You find out a lot quicker, but I just feel like in terms of development, they both could have used another year. I'm intrigued to see what happens though.
Yeah,
I think it's a good test, though, with the receivers that they're going to be going up against. You got to throw a guy like Tyler Higbee in there as well. He's a quality tight end. He really attacks the middle of the field, and he's hard to bring down.
Yeah, it's not Julio and A.J. Brown, right? Like, oh, it is a nice, good first test. It's solid players, but nothing over the top. Robert Woods is one of the most underrated receivers in the league, in my opinion, though.
No, yeah, he's really good as well. And then you got to also account for the fact that Sony Michel likes to catch passes out of the backfield, too. So linebackers are going to be busy keeping, and he's quick as shit. Like, he's very fast in and out of his break. So it's going to have to be a full team effort. It's going to have to be a perfect game, I guess you would say. Like, they have to play perfect if they want to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm kind of on point with you too. I'm glad you brought up Sony Michel, because I'm really interested to see how he's going to be used. I'm interested to see how much Stafford's going to use his running backs out of the backfield in general. And if they're going to try to hit a point where they're going to try to feed Daryl Henderson quite a bit. You know, the one thing with DeSean Jackson as well, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how he moves in and out with Van Jefferson, possibly moving into that role as well, because DeSean obviously has had a lot of injury history over the past few years specifically. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things this Rams offense could do. The defense is going to need to be on point. The secondary is going to really need to be on point. I think guys like Eddie Jackson, Deshaun Gibson are going to be asked to do a lot more than what they would normally have to do with a guy like Kyle Fuller or even a guy last year like Buster Screen. So we're going to see what this team is. I guess if I can encapsulate all of it, we're going to see what the fuck this defense is week one. You know, they're playing a Sean McVay offense. They're playing Matthew Stafford, who they're very used to. They're playing a running back room that's okay, not great. You know, they're good. So it's going to be a good test, kind of like you were saying, Lucas. It's not fucking A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but it's a nice little test.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think overall, when you look at the standings, the Rams' defense is going to fall back a little bit, but I also think their offense is going to jump up a little bit. So either way, you know, the Bears, though, they regressed on offense and defense. Let's be real here. Like, replacing Kyle Fuller with Kendall Vildor is you replace an all-pro with a sixth-round fifth round, like hope, you know what I mean? So it's just a little bit more difficult for the Bears. It's an uphill battle, but this is where I get my confidence from, right? The Bears are +8 and the money, that's already such a ridiculous line. And the money is going to pour in on the LA Rams, because just like you're logically thinking and I'm logically thinking, the Rams should donkey punch the Bears, right? But if I got my tinfoil hat on here, and if Vegas makes that little call, because I think we all kind of know when we're wearing this tinfoil hat, there might be a little bit of a fix. I don't think this game gets out of hand. I do think that the Bears lose, but I think it's going to be more of like a 17-13 game. I think it's going to be more of a defensive battle. I think it might take a little bit of time for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford to work out the kinks and really get their offense going, because this is not an easy test for them. The Bears don't have a bad defense. I mean, they're pretty much going to be at full strength. Maybe Eddie Goldman misses, but like you said, I like what we see from Kyrus Tonga. And then you have Alec Ogletree for Danny Trevathan. And at this point in their careers, how much of a difference is there? You know, as long as you got big boy, big daddy Roquan, 5'8". By the way, Danny Trevathan went to number 6, kind of out of left field. You'd think he would have traded his number in, you know, his jersey number. He went from 59 to 6. I guess he wore that in college. You would have thought he would have done that a while ago, no?
He's going to be a 99 in coverage now. He's got a college DB number.
Yeah, like his 40 time just dropped like 0.2 seconds just by that number change, 100%. Yeah, no, the Danny T thing really kind of throws me off.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of weird, right? I would have rather seen Roquan Smith wearing number 3 again, but then again, that is retired.
Tom Brady's probably freaking out like, fuck. He's going to be out the first 3 weeks. I'm only going to get to see like 2 weeks of film with him wearing the number 6. I don't know if I'm going to be ready.
Bro, Tom Brady's going to go into Foxborough and change his number to 69, 100%.
Oh, my God. Do they play this year?
Yeah, they do.
It's going
to be fucking you Tom knew the Brady NFL versus Mac Jones.
If they weren't on each other's schedule, the NFL with that extra game, they probably put this in fucking place just in case.
The NFL to make sure would have folded.
No, that was happening. You think – I actually want to look into that now. I'm going to tweet about it. I want to look into that because if the Bucks or whatever, if the NFC South is not playing the AFC East this year, if that's not who's matched up, then that means with that 17th game – they made sure to say, oh, you're going to play an AFC opponent that you don't usually play, and it was the Patriots. That was all fucking set up, if that's the case. I don't know if the AFC East is playing the NFC South. I could just be completely conspiracy theory right now, but I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Come on, dude. The NFL does whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. So score predictions.
Roger Goodell's freaking chair in the Hall of Fame, bro. They literally do whatever they want.
For sure.
It's so lame.
But for score predictions, what do you guys got? I got 17-13 LA Rams, unfortunately. Last year I convinced myself I was going to take, you know, I was going to make sure the Bears won every game, but it's hard for me to do that with the Andy Dalton led Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go 24-21 Bears.
I got
300, man. I have to take my team if they're +300.
That is a sign.
The gift that I'm going to cook up if they win this game. Oh,
I will be hammering them.
I cooked up a beauty earlier.
I will be hammering them.
You're going to buy so many fucking just NFL logo t-shirts. I'm so excited for it.
Rob Lowe, baby.
So I got to go 24-17. And also I do want to do a little stat prediction as well. I think Cole Kmet goes 7 for 89 and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Say
24-17 Bears or Rams?
24-17 Bears.
Oh, so I'm the only one that's picking the Rams or the Bears to lose. Okay.
Jag off. And also take a Cole Kmet anytime touchdown. If you're really feeling nice.
I wonder what the line is on that.
I might have to talk with you, B Don.
Let me find.
I hate Cole Dylan. Kmet.
What'd Dylan say now?
I'm glad you blamed the Dalton, not Nagy. Andy Dalton-led Bears. I mean, it's different.
It's still the milk of Nagnesia's fault, that bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just want to make up for all the non-ball bald fraud things we've said today. Bald fraud, bald fraud, bald fraud, bald fraud. He's bald and he's a fraud, and he wears a visor.
Yeah, all right. Those aren't up yet, but Cole Kmet's probably going to be a good plus money bet, and you know that's what we're into, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd hammer that. I'd hammer everything to do with the Bears. Dave Montgomery, yeah, over 24 carries. We know it's going to happen. Not going to happen, but hammer that as well.
Seven fucking carries because Lucas bet that shit.
On that note, we are Bears on Tap. Go ahead and follow us at that handle or follow On Tap Sports Net for all of your Chicago sports needs. I'm Lucas on Tap. You could follow, or I'm Lucas Perfetti. You could follow me at Lucas on Tap. Also, go ahead and follow that pod guy, Duke, Mr. Duke Coughlin, and Beat on 300, Mr. Brandon Suarez. Go ahead and follow On Tap Sports Net for all of your Chicago sports needs. Go Sox, go Cubs, go Hawks, go Bulls. Actually, Bulls are going to be pretty interesting. Definitely go ahead and subscribe to Bulls on Tap. They have a really good show over there with Buzz. So I would definitely recommend that highly, especially with DeRozan and Lonzo and fucking Caruso and everybody coming to town. So go ahead and make sure you subscribe to that. We love you guys. We'll be back Sunday after the game. Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.